G&J Pepsi-Cola Bottlers proudly presents BBN Chalk Talk, a sports show with a distinct Kentucky flavor.
Welcome to BBN Chalk Talk, presented by G&J Pepsi-Cola Bottling. My name is Max Gabby. With me always is Matt Smith and Greg Lyle. What did I do?
Nothing. No.
I obviously did something.
No. I can't be in a good mood.
I don't know what you're doing. Huh?
I can't be in a good mood and laugh.
Just start dying laughing, though. No, you're not allowed to be in a good mood. There's no emotion allowed while I'm going through the read.
Every show I laugh.
You're not allowed to. Stop. Do I need to just restart the whole thing?
HR. I'm calling HR.
Yes, how can I help you?
Matt.
HR ain't going to do it. HR ain't going to do a thing for you.
Hey, are you at Smitty's house? Because
I walked around, Rupp. We all know. Because I'm not. It seems like you are.
No.
I just assumed it was me, but it was Max is cutting up on me too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's definitely not me. Anyway,
of course not.
Former teammate and good friend Larry Warford's going to the Pro Bowl. And then UK makes the announcement on issues with tickets. Make sure you verify your ticket is real. We've got a whole slew of sports that we got to go through. UK basketball, they learned defense, and it was a fun game to watch at that point. We'll look at UK's women's basketball, their game against Missouri, and then a preview of Texas A&M. We'll do, of course, the infamous music poll update and see who's winning. I kind of hope I'm winning, but then again, I kind of not. Might as well just George Costanza this whole thing up. And then our two favorite times of the week, our food question of what's better, pancakes, waffles, or French toast. I saw that video, and I still take offense to it. And then the fattest thing I did this week.
I haven't seen the video, but I did see the thing pop up on social media. I'm like, that is a very good question that we need to address.
It is a good question. Anyway, we'll get to it in the final segment. But, guys, how are we doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm good. Feeling good about this basketball team. I know, you know, we talked about needing to get two of the three wins here against these ranked opponents, and we've already done that. And so we've got a real chance to go 3-for-3 on it. It's exciting. I like the way this team's trending. So they got me in a good mood after last night.
Yeah, it was a great game.
Yeah, that was a great game to watch. It was just overall team play great. Yeah. Defensively, wow. I mean, just put in perspective, you beat a ranked Mississippi State by 21 points.
Yeah.
Which UK in football beat a ranked Mississippi State by 21 points.
Ooh.
Ooh. Little nugget for you there. Little nugget for you.
I like it.
I know, right? I know. This seems to be a very this is a very good mood time of year right now, and time of this season, especially with how we knew this stretch was going to be rough, and then how they played against Bama. And it's like, oh, gosh, what's going to happen after this? And I actually really feel good going into College Game Day against Kansas. I actually feel really good about it.
You know, it's funny. You said I just had to talk about this because you said a little nugget for you, because after every game up there on the table for the press conferences while we're waiting on all the coaches and players to come out, Tony Neely gets up there and starts reading stats from the game and kind of walking you through the game, giving you little tidbits and just all the stuff. So everybody calls them Neely's Nuggets because he gives you little bits and pieces here. Like the one that he just had last night was that Tyler Hero went 3-for-3 from three-pointer. And he goes, so I guess you could call him Tyler Three-Row tonight. We all just start dying laughing. And Curtis leans over to me and he's like, what does Tony say to you guys before you actually go into interviews? And I was like, I'm sure you've heard the top three. Like, you have your 3 points that you stick to. You try not to deviate from that. And I was like, and then before you go out there, I was like, it's kind of like sitting in the exit row of a plane. You have to give Tony verbal confirmation that you understand before he lets you actually go out there. And Curtis started dying laughing. He goes, what about? And I go, Cash, Yeah, I don't know. There's no telling. I'm sure it drives Tony up a wall.
He probably just gave up. He's just like, just go.
I can just see Cash standing there being like, yeah, Tony, I got it, I got it. And then just going out there and be like, listen here.
It's like, he fooled me again.
Yeah.
Well, usually with football, it's Matt May and Slacks are the two that kind of lead that one up. And Slacks just stands close by.
Yeah.
And usually after the first catch, she's like, okay, one more question. Okay, he's done. She's so nice. Okay, he's done now.
As soon as she can get him out of there, she's out.
I remember anytime I got interviewed, when all of a sudden it was going to be just a long-winded day that you just saw that you had a few reporters and they're all just asking either the same question, or the ones that always threw me for a loop was after we just had a heavy day, i.e. when Matt sat out the whole day, one of those kind of days.
You had a heavy day.
Yes. And I can barely breathe. I didn't get a chance to get a Gatorade because they just stop you there. And they're like, well, I will ask you about this. And I kind of lose track of what he said. And I'd be like, oh, gosh, I'm so tired. Oh, my gosh, I'm so tired. Why? Oh, come on. Slime gets a Gatorade, but I don't. I'm still. Oh, wait, did he ask a question? He asked a question.
Yeah.
You know, right now what we're focusing on as an offensive line is just be able to be compatible with one another the way our offensive line's been moving around. Didn't answer the question at all. Like, nope. Not even close. The question was, I think it had something to do with how has it been alternating between Morgan, Patrick, and Jalen, I think was the question. I was like, well, you know, as an offensive line, you know, we just got to be compatible with one another.
He's like, do you even know who those three guys are? Your teammates with them.
I really love Super Smash Brothers. You know, Patty Ice is pretty good at it.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
Which shout out, this is, oh gosh, how many years has it been now? I just saw it's the anniversary of Super Smash Brothers 64 coming out on the N64.
Hmm.
Great legendary game.
Legendary.
Donkey Kong, throw them off the platform twice as they're trying to come up. Up B one more time. Get your punch completely fired up, revved up, ready to go. And then you punch them into next week.
There you go.
Best move in the game.
Best move. Done.
Yes. But you know who else has got a powerful punch?
Who?
Big Schlary, because it's made him millions of dollars and sent him to the bowl game. The Pro Bowl for the second year in a row.
Yes, it has. Yeah, and I, after that game that we've all already discussed,
yes,
I gave it a day or two before I texted Larry because I knew how I felt and I could only imagine how he felt. And I texted him about 3 days ago and still haven't heard anything. So I don't know if it's a telling sign of our friendship or if he's taking it that hard or I don't know. But, I texted him and I was like, hey, man, sorry. It's, you know, not the way it wanted. Congrats on the Pro Bowl. Hope to see you in Lexington after the Pro Bowl sometime. I don't know. But it's kind of short and sweet and, yeah, no word. So we'll see. I may be on his do not call list now when he comes into Lexington.
Oh, I'm sure he's probably just decompressing. And
oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
We've all been there before. We all know how that goes.
No, but, yeah, big time for him. I mean – both years that he's been with the Saints, he's gone to the Pro Bowl now. So, you know, two more years on his contract here and see what happens after that. But, I mean, he's been killing it and making a name for himself and making lots of money for himself. So, it's good to see him get those honors because we know what kind of player he is.
To see how much his contract escalated from his first few years at 4 years at Detroit. Gosh, I can't believe that he's been in the league. Was it three? I thought he was in Detroit for 4 years.
No, he would have been there 13, 14. Oh, you're right. 15 and 16. And then he was at the Saints 17 and then 18 here. So, yeah.
He's been in the league now for 6 years.
Yep.
That's unreal.
Yeah.
That's a –
Yeah.
That crazy. Just sounds bad.
Ugh. I know. Yeah.
If it were me, if I was giving Larry advice, which take it with a – big heap of grain of salt.
Wait to hear this.
after the amount of money you've made with New Orleans, and that was a beautiful contract because he finally got paid what he's worth because he was getting extremely underpaid at Detroit. Yep. I think he was the cheapest starter, offensive line starter in the league for like 4 years in a row.
Yeah, probably.
He finally got a great contract, and we all know how frugal Larry is with his money.
Yes.
At that point, you're on your last after your last year of your contract, I'd be like, you know what? I'm done. I'm just going to Calvin Johnson this whole thing. Just Megatron the whole thing and just be like, I'm done. I'm not playing anymore.
Yeah. I mean, he'll have been in the league eight years.
He's got his pension now.
Yeah. It would not surprise me one bit if he stepped away at the end of this contract. I think he understands there's and here's the other thing. You know, and I've had these conversations before, and I know this isn't just him, but there's a lot of players in the league. When you get to this point, because of the politics and the way that the business side of it runs more than just the pure love for football, it becomes a job, and it's not as fun to play football anymore. Everything else takes over, and, you know, it's just not the game that you grew up with anymore. So, you know, for him in particular, he played football because he was good at it, and he wanted to make a living off of it. It was never like a passion of his like it is ours. But, you know, he's done well and made money, and it's a business and it's a job. Just like us going to work every day. We don't like it, but we get paid, and he's the same way.
Well, I mean, whatever you say, but, I mean, speak for yourself.
Well, and here's
the mafia thing. Didn't let you talk bad about the chip.
Exactly.
Rule number
everything's
one,
everything's all sunshine and rainbows.
Yeah. But I will say this. Being in New Orleans definitely has given him new life as far as the football side of it goes, because when he was in Detroit, he was not having a great time. But being in New Orleans.
First of all, you're in Detroit.
Yes.
Start there.
Yes. Start with the city.
Check.
Much less the organization. So
Detroit, second Lions, third North.
Yes. And we know how Larry does.
Three strikes.
Cool. Yeah.
And you know he has to be frugal with his money if Max calls him frugal.
Yes.
I just remember.
The microwave.
Well, I do remember the microwave incident. But the first time he came back after his first year with Detroit, me, him, his now wife, Trevino, all went to Malibu Jacks in Lexington. And this is while I was still playing. And I see Larry roll up. And he had a nasty old little beat-up SUV that he used to drive.
Yeah.
Really beat up. He goes and buys his 1500 Ram, and it's a good looking truck, but it's nothing like, hey, I'm making at that time $980,000 a year kind of truck. Right. It doesn't look like a big money truck.
Yep.
And then he gets out of the truck with his then girlfriend, now wife, gets out, and he's wearing sweatpants from UK. And then his Senior Bowl hoodie to Malibu Jacks.
Yep.
Because I was worried, because I hadn't seen Larry for a year. I was like, oh, man, I wonder if he's changed. Like, are we going to be able to talk about stuff like we used to? And I see him get out of the truck, and I was like, okay, we're fine.
Yep.
We're fine. He hasn't changed.
Guess what? Six years later, last time he was in Lexington, he came into Lexington. We went to Malibu Jacks, the new one, over on Nicholas Hill Road.
Yeah.
And we bowled and played video games because that's what Larry loves to do. He wasn't wearing sweats, but he was wearing jeans and a hoodie. And he still has that exact same truck. So it's not like he's just been throwing money around, buying new cars all the time and new trucks and all this fancy stuff. Like, he just lives within his means. And
exactly. And that's so great about him. And it's an example for what people need to do with their money in general, whether you make $34 million or you make $34,000. I mean, that's just a life principle that you have. The one irresponsible thing I've ever seen him do with his money was when he ordered some pizzas one night. He didn't choose a hotel. He crashed at our old Blue House.
Yeah.
Didn't want to get a hotel. Crashed at the Blue House. Matt, Lyle, you all remember that house.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
favorite Christmas cards ever.
And so he crashes at the house, and he goes, I'm going to order a pizza. And so he orders two, three pizzas, something like that. It wound up being like $32.
Yeah.
And he pulls out, the guy shows up, he gives, he grabs the pizzas, and all of a sudden he's going through his wallet and he accidentally grabs the wrong thing and grabs $100 bill. Mm-hmm. And gives it to the guy. Before he gets it, he looks at it, he goes, ah. You see him look at his head, he goes, that's okay, you can have it. He gives this dude $100 with no, asking for no change. It's $70 like,
tip, well, that, on a $30 pizza.
Yeah, well, no, but it wasn't because of irresponsibility. It was, he was too lazy to put it back in his wallet. He had already made the commitment. It's like, that's too far away. This is the same dude who left a sports jacket in my car. We're walking away, literally 15, 20 feet away from the car. And I go, hey, you forgot your sports jacket. And he looks back and he goes, that's too far.
Yeah. Yep. Same guy in the hotel rooms that instead of getting up, we threw every pillow we had at the light switch to try to turn it off, and we would rather sleep without any pillows in order that we, so that we didn't have to get up to turn the light off.
Yeah, I couldn't do
same
that.
Same guy.
I didn't have the pillows.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. But.
Oh, that was.
But I am thankful he left his UK warm-up jacket at the Big Blue House, mm-hmm. because whenever it moved out, it is now sitting in my closet.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
He was asking about that.
And I will say this too. Larry's very, very generous and very nice when his friends are around and he's paying for stuff, and he has definitely gone. We've gone to Sky Bar and he's definitely taken care of a lot of people and may let us have a very good time on his dime. So, but I just can't, I'm glad he and Emily have made the decision to come back to Lexington at some point whenever he is done playing and going to move back here. So it'll be good to eventually have him back, just have some good friends around. So I'm trying to convince him to open a sports bar in Lexington and just let us run it or just go to it as much as we
want. Oh, my gosh.
Yes, either way.
That would be awesome.
I said, I know a guy that runs restaurants.
Yep, hello.
Yes, right here.
Yes, please. Whatever you need, Larry. I'll even give you the jacket back at that point.
Seems like an even trade.
He'll probably go, oh, wow, that's a great deal.
Yeah.
Fork out $1.5 million, I'll open a bar for you.
Yeah.
We'll cover all expenses in my first year salary, and you get your jacket back.
And you get your jacket. Deal? Great.
I'll even wash it.
Ha, sucker.
Gosh.
Oh. Wow, no. We talked a lot about Larry.
We did.
We did. Well, that's a good segue.
Way off topic there. We're still on the first thing we're supposed to talk about.
Yeah. But back on track, security. Mobile ticketing reminders for Kansas game. The UK Athletics Department and Public Relations Department has made everybody aware that they did this back during the Georgia game too, for football. It is a sold out game. So make sure you are buying legit tickets. Beware of counterfeit tickets reaching the market. Make sure they come from the UK ticket office, Ticketmaster, and Ticket Exchange. Reply by FIVO, the visiting team, or the Rupp Arena box office. If not, you could be in for a rude awakening whenever they go to scan your little label and you go to get in the game for those $200-$300 tickets that you shelled out for, and it goes, eh.
You know, wah,
ding. So just make sure, verify that you have legit tickets. You don't want to be stuck out, but that's going to be a great game. College game day, coming back to Lexington.
They're here.
They're going to be here. It's going to be a big time. They'll be there 11 a.m. in Rupp Arena.
Yep. Doors open at 9:30.
You can get in the crowd for that. So it should be great atmosphere.
Jay Williams put up a little Twitter video with Seth Davis on challenging BBN to show up with 10,000 plus. They said that when they were in Chapel Hill, they came with right around 10,000 fans, and they were challenging BBN to beat that with the number of people that we get at game day. So, great timing on a great Saturday for some great basketball. Get out there early and show the nation here through College game day what we got this year.
Yep.
It'll be exciting.
And to honor Larry and his Pro Bowl, I'm going to wear that jacket this weekend.
Nice. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Good deal. Well, when we come back, we've got a slew of UK sports, hashtag everything's cool, that we will discuss. You're listening to BBN Chalk Talk, presented by G&J Pepsi-Cola Bottling. Question, do you manage a business that uses advertising to market to your customer base? Radio's audience continues to grow. adding new listeners by the millions every year. And now with podcasts and more streaming audio in the mix, the universe of listeners continues to expand. Do you think partnering with BB and Choctaw to advertise is a good fit for your company? Want to know all the different ways we can help you reach more customers? Contact us today at info@bbandchoctaw.com, and we will follow up immediately to answer your questions.
Yo, yo, this is your cup holder talking. The little round thing between your car seats. Now, I normally have a nice cold bottle of Mountain Dew in me, but at the moment, I'm empty. That's right, no Mountain Dew. Nothing in here but a couple of quarters and a dime. A fully capable cup holder like me just carrying your loose change. Look, I'm not made for loose change. I'm made to keep Mountain Dew within reach at all times, just inches from your hand. So find a store already. Grab some Dew. Toss it back, then place that bottle where it belongs. Mountain Dew. Do the do.
Welcome back to BB and Chalk Talk, presented by G&J PepsiCo Bowling. Guys, everything, literally everything. Yep. But Matt, we'll kick it off with you as we preview Kansas.
Yeah.
And this now, let me ask this, because it's always asked on the football side. Is this the biggest game of the John Calipari era?
Yep, because it's the next game.
Oh.
Yes. He actually even opened up his presser with that after the game, after the Mississippi State game. He said, yeah, and Kansas game, the most important game, because it's the next one. He just went full sarcastic Coach Cal and everybody. But, no, I mean, this – we mentioned earlier, we mentioned on previous episodes, again, the fact that you could finish a three-game stretch after beating number 14 Auburn at Auburn, number 22 Mississippi State, is that what they were? Mm-hmm. Number 22 Mississippi State at home here, and then if you could finish that off against number 9 Kansas at home, you're setting yourself up real nice for the second half of you know, SEC play and getting into the end here towards tournament time. Because here's the thing is, Kansas matches up very well with Kentucky in that they play similar basketball. They don't rely on a lot of three-point shooting. They rely on getting the ball around, moving around, slashing to the basket, taking those jumpers that you know, that they could take from their forwards there. That's exactly what Kentucky does. Now, the big thing for them is that if you've been following Kansas, you know, number one, 2 weeks ago, their big man, Udoka Azubuike, is out for the rest of the season here. He ended up tearing some ligaments in his hand, which he actually tore the same ligaments in the opposite hand, I think in 2016 is what I saw there. But so they're without that big man. They're also without their big man from last year who kind of came on strong, Silvio De Sousa, who got suspended by the NCAA because of all of that FBI investigation with Adidas and things like that were going on. Someone admitted to arranging payments for him to commit to Kansas. So that's still an ongoing investigation. We don't know if he's going to play the rest of the season. They were obviously hoping to have him back by this point because it's been 17 games without him. But as that continues, they're without their two big men. They redshirted one of their freshmen. So we got an opportunity. Reed has a big opportunity to kind of dominate down low. And I think that they have a chance to do exactly what they did against Mississippi State, where they didn't allow much in the paint against Mississippi State. And they were able to kind of drive and get to the basket a lot of times. And I'm looking for Kentucky to do the very same thing against a little bit of a week in Kansas. But with that being said too, you know, they've got some players still on their team with Dedrick Lawson, who's almost averaging 20 points a game. You know, LeGerald Vick is another big time guy for them that does a lot. He's kind of like their PJ Washington, where he can be a slasher. He can pull up from anywhere. He's shooting, you know, 45% from three this season already, and he's averaging 15. And there's a couple other guys with the, you know, a couple other freshmen, Devin Dotson and Quentin Grimes, who have shown a lot of promise here for them. But in the end, I expect if Kentucky comes out the way that they have these last 2 weeks, I fully expect them to take care of business and have no problems, you know, taking it to Kansas.
What about gymnastics?
What about them?
Okay. Well, all right.
Gymnastics on Friday travels down to Florida to take on number 3. Florida Gators. Florida's 2-0 on the season right now. Their high score is 197.5. They just came off a win where they went down excuse me. They went on down to LSU and handed LSU their first home loss since 2013. Number 3, number 5 matchup last weekend. We talked about that on a radio show. They do Friday night heights now during the winter on the SEC network, and that was one of the matchups last weekend. So big matchup. They also, Florida has Trinity Thomas, who is the freshman from York, Pennsylvania, was named the SEC freshman of the gymnastics freshman of the week. So going to be a great match. Can't wait to see it this Friday night.
Love it.
That's going to be awesome. Fun.
Back kind of on the basketball side a little bit here, from earlier this week, that Ashton Hagans was named as one of the candidates for the Naismith Defensive Player of the Year midseason watch list. At this point, there's 15 players. He was one of 15 to be on there. Only one of two freshmen, Zion Williamson, being the other one, and then only one of two SEC players, Grant Williams, being the other one there. But a great honor. Obviously, not only is Kentucky recognizing he's the best defender we have, but he's getting a lot of national recognition in just the way that he's been able to come on. You know, they even quoted Roy Williams here, the North Carolina head coach, after that game, is saying, you know, in the game, just kind of summing it up, that Ashton Hagans was 2 for 6, 7 points, but in some ways he was more dominating than anybody else in that game. And so we know what kind of problems he can cause. It's obviously he's getting the notoriety, but the award will be given out, I believe, in February. That's when the award semifinalists, which will be announced in February, the award will be given out at the end of the year. So I think he's just going to continue to come on strong. And as he's been getting better on defense, his offense has been coming along with it, which has been good to see.
Cal's always said that, you know, it's a complete game. When one suffers, the other suffers. And when one's on, the other side of the game's on as well.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, so we're going to talk a little rifle because
pew-pew.
I've switched it from pew-pew to bang-bang.
Mm. Be a little aggressive, little bit more, though.
But it's from like all the hip songs that the kids listen to today. It's not Michael Scott going pew-pew-pew, pew-pew-pew-pew, pew-pew, bang-bang. Anyway. Anyway, so
rifle.
I don't know. Because I'm the best rifle coverage guy in the entire state of Kentucky. And I would like anyone to challenge me on that. No one? No one? No other media outlets want to challenge me on that? Of course not. Because BB and Chalk Talk is the number one source for rifle coverage. Anyway, so I got this question asked of me this week. So I guess on Sunday, we blew a lot of people's heads' minds, blew their minds when we told them that UK is not in the SEC, and there is no SEC in rifle. So I got asked, well, what is GARC? I said, well, that's a great question. It's a Great American Rifle Conference, and it is a wide variety of schools. First, you have the University of Kentucky, Ole Miss, which those are the only two SEC schools that have a rifle program. Memphis, North Carolina State, Army, Navy, Akron, and West Virginia. So, where rifle is broken up in a fall series and a winter series. We just started the first winter match of the year, which was Akron, which we beat 4,709 to 4,666. Pretty strong showing. A little close, too close for comfort, but hey, it's all good. And we kind of went into more detail on Sunday. But the next game is against Murray State. Yes, of the limited amount of schools in the country that have a rifle program, Murray State, Morehead State, and the University of Kentucky, three schools from the state of Kentucky that participate in rifle. So I always argue that a basketball state, it's a rifle state. But that match will be this Friday. That's not good. Anyway, the match will be this Friday. My internet became unstable, was my warning sign.
That's putting it very nicely.
Are you serious? Is it that bad?
It was pretty bad.
Okay.
I know what you guys feel like now when it happens. You said it's not just a basketball state.
That is disappointing.
That's great. Oh, we got the point though.
Yeah.
Love it. Really,
definitely elaborated there.
Well, I felt like that some of our newer fans needed to need to be re-educated or at least get a crash course of rifle. And I just looked at my internet, the internet's nearby, and one of them is, we support the Second Amendment. Try us. Huh. Little
Howdy,
aggressive.
Neighbor. How are you doing?
Wow.
I bet you
well for themselves.
You could probably take 10 cracks at their passcode and get it.
Probably could. They have
guns.
They have
guns, ammo,
NRA.
They've got two internets. They have two Wi-Fi spots.
Oh, fancy.
We support the Second Amendment. Try us, guest. And we support the Second Amendment.
Log Try on. Us. Oh, you got to log on the guest one. Yes.
That's hilarious.
Is the guest one? Do I not need a password for it?
Oh,
unsecure. Wow. Okay.
You don't say.
Shocker.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Now I'm not going to get political. All right. Wow. Talk about women's basketball.
Yeah, to wrap up our sport coverage for other sports right now, Macy Morris was chosen to the WBCA, Women's Basketball Coach Association, for their program. So You Want to Be a Coach. It sounds like Ms. Morris has aspirations of going on. She's a major in kinesiology and would like to coach at some point. Her father, Lewis, is currently the boys' head coach at Middlesbrough High School. So it's a program that is put on by the WBCA in April at their annual convention down in Tampa, Florida. She'll be going and representing UK and doing a three-day workshop on different ways that you can get into coaching, increase their understanding, awareness of what it takes to become a coach, especially a female coach and administrator in the world of basketball. So it's going to be pretty cool to see her, see if she goes on after college. And
yeah, I mean, just from an outsider looking in, you know, number one, she obviously has been with a program that's been successful and been under Coach Mitchell for this long, somebody that's been very successful. But then two, just the way that she handles herself in interviews on the court, off the court, things like that. I mean, you could tell that she's got the type of personality and the right start as far as being poised and someone professional and just kind of handling everything that she does. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully we see her coaching one of these days here. If, you know, if WNBA aren't her aspirations or things don't work out there, that she can continue down that route. Cause I definitely think she's got, I'm just glad to see a program like this that's around there. I don't think I ever heard of anything like that when I was playing, just as far as being able to do some sort of convention or gathering like that anyway. So I just think it's awesome that she gets to even be a part of that just for more knowledge at the very least.
Yeah, it's great to see the way I've got a former athlete that she's going into sports administration. She's getting ready to graduate this year, but she's actually on her way right now. If she's not there, she's in Orlando for the D3 Athletic Administrators Conference. So they have a big conference on NCAA on different ways that they can improve the sports programs and things like that. So it is great to see that they have these kind of programs, especially for those that want to get into the coaching world.
Love it.
It's a very interesting world. Very interesting, but yet very, it's a rewarding, it's a challenging business, just college athletics and general. It's kind of a monkey wrench to it, but all props to her, and especially that's what her passion is. Go get it.
Yep.
When we come back, you'll have Lyle and Matt. We'll be talking a whole lot of basketball, and that's probably about it. You're listening to BB and Chalk Talk, presented by G&J Pepsi Cola Bottling.
Hi, I'm Alex White, tea master at Pure Leaf. When I make tea, everything I know goes into it. I like the mystique of it, the creativity. You can't be impatient. When I craft Pure Leaf iced tea, I don't take shortcuts. because I want you to have the same amazing taste of iced tea that I do. So I start with fresh-picked tea leaves from different parts of the world. Then, after they're delicately dried, I blend and brew them at a lower temperature to draw out their unique aromas. And then I taste and fine-tune the blend for a delicious smooth iced tea. I'd love to have you take a sip right now, but that's one thing we can't do over the radio. But you can experience the same delicious taste of Pure Leaf iced tea anywhere you are. I'm Alex White, Pure Leaf Tea Master. Pure Leaf, our thing is tea.
Welcome back to BBN Chalk Talk, presented by G&J Pepsi Cola Bottlers. This is Matt and Greg with a little recap here of the Kentucky-Missouri women's game. A little bit of a scary game to start with in that first half, but obviously a great second half, big finish. Greg, you were at the game. How was it?
Man, it was great. You know, that even that first half was a little sloppy. We weren't hitting anything. Whenever Ryan Howard doesn't score a first basket and it's a free throw with like a minute left in the half, I was still not panicking with this game. We were playing them tough on defense. We weren't getting the transition points that we really wanted. We weren't getting a lot of turnovers like we wanted, but we were playing them tough, and their three-point shooting was what was keeping them in the game and keeping them at that three-point lead. So I had confidence if we could come out and start the second half pretty hot, because even there in that second, we held them to 9 points. Now they only held us to 8. There wasn't a lot of scoring. But if we could make some adjustments and come out on fire in the second half, I was optimistic about what we could do. And then somebody woke up Miss Taylor Murray.
Yeah, they did. I mean, she was. It was like she was hitting from everywhere. She drove the ball a couple times. She hit one like a step inside the 3-point line. And she was just, she decided to take it into her own hands there to start the half. So, I think the biggest thing is that we know this Missouri team is a good shooting team. And when you can hold them on the game to 33% field goal, you've got a pretty good shot there. And this goes back to, you know, like you said, the first and second quarter. Yeah, we didn't have a great first half, but neither did they. We've been very fortunate that our defense has held the opponents to bad quarters when our offense has had bad quarters. And this is just another example. I mean, you look at the quarter breakdown for Missouri, they had 12, 9, 7, and 13, which is a phenomenal job by the defense. And then when our offense finally picks it up, and the crazy thing, you know, Tatiana had a big game. I mean, you had out of our three kind of best players, I guess you could consider them on the team. Obviously, Taylor Murray went off of 21, but then Macy and Ryan each only had 4. And when you're still winning games like this against top 25 opponents and two of your three best players just have off offensive nights, that's big time.
Yeah, and one of the key stats I put out right before the game was that number 23 for Missouri, Amber Smith, when she scores in double figures, Missouri is 25-5. She has 7 double-doubles on the year so far this year. We held her to no points tonight. She was 0-for-3. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, when your defense can come down and lock down their key players too, that's key to
Yeah, they're a big player after, you know, outside of Amber Smith, Sophie Cunningham still had, you know, the only really big night for them was 17 points. She was a big girl, and she was getting to the basket, but they were so frustrated, it seemed like, on defense and on the bench, and their coach got a technical foul. They were just so frustrated with how annoying this Kentucky defense can be, causing 20 turnovers, 4 steals by Taylor. And those steals were – it's just – it's so fun to watch her watch the ball and just – she does – she's not trying to see where the person's going. She's seeing where you hold the ball, and she just pokes it out and takes off with it. So – just an incredible job by her on both ends.
And there was a couple times tonight that she would miss an easy layup and then steal the inbound pass.
That
is so frustrating for an offense to do that to a team. And you're exactly right, because the way that they came out and started that second half, it really frustrated Missouri, because here Missouri is, they're on the road, they're going into half up by 3. They feel like they got a lot of momentum going on, and then all of a sudden, 2 minutes into the second half, you're down 3, and you're like, "What's going on? Hold on."
Yeah,
and it was just, it was all Taylor Murray. That first point, she needed 10 points in the first 5 minutes of the second half.
Right, and you look at the shots that were just taken. I mean, you know, Kentucky held Missouri to only 39 field goal attempts. They had 54 themselves, so just not even the fact that the defense was just frustrated. They weren't even letting them get shots up in most cases. So, yeah, just all around great win for this program here as they end up on the road for Sunday, facing another ranked opponent, number 24 A&M down there in your favorite part of the country.
Yes, I do. I do enjoy being back in the state. We just usually don't stop at College Station.
Yeah, you just ride through it with a certain number one finger held up out the window, right?
So it's over in that area of state. Yeah. We just don't. There's other things to do.
That's right.
You know, look at these stats before we get to A&M. We got them to 3 offensive rebounds. I knew we out-rebounded them, and that was a big thing that we wanted to do. They only had 3 offensive rebounds tonight. That's huge. Yeah.
Kentucky had 16.
That is a huge stat there.
Yes. Yeah. No, it sure is. So, yeah, I mean, great adversity overcoming type of win here at home. Something desperately needed to kind of continue things rolling here with, you know, the 17th win of the season for the ladies. And it was really cool to watch from – you didn't get to see this because obviously you were at the game, but on the TV side of the game, they had Matthew Mitchell – wired for the game, and they showed him about 3 or 4 times just on him in the huddle or talking to the bench, and just the way that he was encouraging Ryan Howard. They kept showing that because they were talking about how Ryan was struggling the whole time, but just the way that he kept encouraging her through the whole game, you could tell her confidence was shot because she wasn't making shots, and he just kept coming up to her and like, hey, you're doing a great job defensively. You're giving them problems. Your rebounding has been awesome. You've been having a great game. Don't worry about the shooting. I don't care about that. Just keep doing what you're doing. So it was just awesome to kind of get a little glimpse into there during live time at what he goes through and just the way that he handles his team.
Yeah, and he said that this was a great game, and that's why he didn't pull her. It was a great game for her to learn from, to play a physical team like Missouri that wasn't going to, you know, didn't fit into her style of play. It really was going to give her trouble, and it was a chance for her to learn from. She led the team in rebounds with 8, 3 offensive, 5 defensive. She also had 2 steals and 1 of our assists tonight. So, you know, Missouri's coach talked about this after the game, that what she really liked about Kentucky was that everybody contributes and everybody knows their role. And they're happy with that role, and they go out and they do what they're asked to do every single night. And that's what this team is. You know, we've talked about this before. It's nice to have a Macy Morris not play, or Macy Morris only getting 4 points, and we're still able to pull out some victories. You know, to have 2 of our top players go down and not play a game and still be able to pull out wins is huge for us. And it's only going to make us stronger as we get into the last part of the SEC and into the SEC tournament. A&M right now sitting at 3-2. They're 14-4 overall. They're 4-1 on the road, and they're 8-2 at home. So we've got our work cut out for us. They're on a 3-game win streak right now. They just knocked off Georgia last night, I believe it was.
Yep.
So it's another top 25 team that they're going to have to go on the road and take care of business.
Yeah, and they have – when you're kind of looking at their schedule here, they've played 3 ranked teams so far. Syracuse, the 3rd game of the season, and lost to them. They did end up beating number 8 Oregon State by 6 points. Probably four weeks ago. And then they lost to South Carolina, number 20 South Carolina time. So, I mean, this is really only their 4th game against a ranked team like that. So hopefully Kentucky can come out and shock them. But we'll get into a little more of that here for the show on Sunday, just kind of previewing before we go into that game, looking at a little bit more in depth on them. So yeah, exciting win, big time game. Glad you got to see you on TV a couple times, so that was good.
Yeah. Was I awake?
Ladies were shooting free throws. What?
Man, it is so hard to, as a coach and as a former athlete, to not cheer or get excited or anything like that. To kind of have to bite your lip and just kind of have a stone face, because whenever their coach got her technical, really, I thought it should have been on number 3, Cunningham. Because she got stripped and got mad. She got a foul trying to get the ball back and spiked the ball. And that's when she got that foul, and that's when the coach lost her stuff after she got that foul. But it is hard not to to keep a straight face and just have to sit there and be like, yes, I'm entertained, but I'm not too entertained and be calm and not yell at a ref. Or it's difficult.
Yeah.
Very difficult.
Yeah. No, for sure. Absolutely. So, well, cool, man. Yeah, good win tonight.
Solid.
See what's coming here on Sunday, and the rest of SEC play is the ladies hopefully get stronger and get some good offensive play for some other players besides the big three for them, and it's always good to see. So when we come back, we will be talking about the updated music polls. Got a couple other things for Max to talk about, and then we will get into the fattest thing I did this week. Stay tuned. You've been listening to BB and Chalk Talk, presented by G&J Pepsi Cola Bottler.
Question, do you manage a business that uses advertising to market to your customer base? Radio's audience continues to grow, adding new listeners by the millions every year. And now with podcasts and more streaming audio in the mix, the universe of listeners continues to expand. Do you think partnering with BB and Chalk Talk to advertise is a good fit for your company? Want to know all the different ways we can help you reach more customers? Contact us today at info@bbandchalktalk.com, and we will follow up immediately to answer your questions.
Final seconds in this one. They can win it with a field goal.
Wait, time out. They're going to ice the kicker.
Is that the coach with a Pepsi?
It's the whole stadium.
Snap is good. Threads are up. The kick is.
No good!
He missed it!
The Pepsi's worked!
Welcome back to BB and Chalk Talk, presented by G&J Pepsi Cola Bottling. I am so surprised after having G&J Pepsi Cola Bottling as a sponsor for so long that I have maybe screwed up that intro or break, coming out of break, going into break, like maybe three times since we've had them as a sponsor. It is absolutely shocking to me that I finally got it down like that. And just because I said something, I will never get it right again.
Correct.
You won't. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So music poll update.
Yeah. Looking at it right now, Nickelback has four votes. Brooks and Dunn has fives, and Mumford and Sons has six.
All right. His internet's now.
It is.
All right. So the people that said, see, we need to oust all those people that voted for Nickelback right now. We need to oust them.
That's what Gerald Markham said.
Yes. And I agree with him. And that's what I don't like about Twitter. It makes people that don't deserve their voice being heard. It gives them a platform. And once you say Nickelback, I'm not saying you lose that right. I'm just saying it's probably not a good idea for you to do anything. Maybe
that
we just
is
stick
exactly
you on
the island. Why I picked them this week to see.
No, but
it's sick.
But what you don't understand is this could backfire because that means we would have to listen to Nickelback
exactly
our show on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Look at this photograph.
I could put up with them for a few intros and outros. Because
I want to be a rock star.
Nailed it.
I'm an animal. Have you ever seen that video of that guy that just sings Nickelback songs, like just sings them as bad as possible? And he does like a side-by-side of like how the song's supposed to sound. And then he just does it, just sings it like horrible. It's the funniest thing. But he's like, he gets up there and he's acting like all serious about it. Okay, to me it was funny. It was really funny when I saw it.
I've already got next week's picked out because it's along the same vein. Can't wait. Social experiments that I'm running now on her.
Oh, okay. Are you that bored now?
No, not that bored. I just find it interesting. It's gonna be fun to see. So yeah, we've had that up just a short time, but it's already only one vote separates all three of us. So
nope, I just voted. So me and Max me and you are tied now. Or no, me and Max are tied now. Yeah. I forgot to vote, and I just voted.
Are we allowed to vote?
Why aren't you allowed to vote? Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't know if we
You don't always have to vote for yourself either. I have. Last week, I did vote for Smith.
Right.
So
you could get a situation that Venezuela's in today. You could get into that. If you, I'm just saying the power of voting and not voting correctly can backfire on you very quickly.
Yeah, I don't know about a music poll for a radio show.
Yeah, it's not, I'm not that extreme. I'm just playing around with some social experiments. I'm not trying to crush a democracy.
There's a lot of people that just want to try out some social experiments and then all of a sudden and let us down some rabbit holes we did not want to go down.
Take over the state with this poll.
It's just how it starts out.
Yep.
You have a tendency of starting out with something and then all of a sudden it escalates. Well, I mean, look at what we're doing right now. It was
do a 30-minute podcast for a few seconds on Sunday.
I'm just saying it's a gateway to something. It's a gateway to, I don't know what it looks like, but if we got all of a sudden all our followers on BB and Chalk Talk like hypnotized now or something like that, I don't know. Anyway, food topic.
So yeah, this popped up on my timeline earlier. I forgot what social media outlet it was on, but somebody was asking what's better, pancakes, waffles, or French toast. And I thought, what a better forum than this show to ask that question and get people's feedbacks.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't see anyone else qualified to be able to do that.
No, there's not.
I think there's a, first of all, BuzzFeed of all people is not qualified. The same people that goes, have you ever had a kale cupcake? Nope. You're not allowed to talk.
I would throw that at somebody. If somebody even gave me one of those, I would throw it at them. Now, I like kale. I'll drink a kale smoothie, but I'm not eating a kale cupcake.
Don't supplement. If you're going to be healthy and you're going to eat healthy, then just commit to eating healthy. Don't try to disguise it with stuff. Like, don't make kale shakes and zucchini burger.
There's a guy that I work with when he goes on his health kicks. Like, he'll literally walk in with a sandwich bag full of spinach and just straight Popeye. Spinach. Like he doesn't go cover it up with anything or put it in anything fancy. He just literally handfuls of spinach leaves and just like shoves it down as fast as he can, and then he's done with it. And he's like, God, okay, we're good. It's just like, wow.
Just tell him there's a much easier way to do it. Just put in a cast iron, put a little bit of vinegar in it, then put a little bit of salt with a little bit of hot sauce, and it's edible. And the best part is it condensed down, so it just turns into just a green glob, and all you have to do is just one bite. Done. You're done after that.
I don't know.
But anyway, if I had to choose, it's first of all, for me, French toast out of the picture. I'm not a big French toast guy. Okay. It takes way too much effort to make.
What if somebody makes it for you and it's there?
It's not. I'd still rather have a pancake or a waffle, and it depends.
Okay.
It really depends on my mood for either or. I will say this. I do make the best pancakes. So if they were my pancakes, then yeah, I choose mine. If they're not my pancakes, I'm going to choose a waffle.
Okay. That's fair. If I'm just choosing straight up on it, I think I'm going to go waffle. I think there's different situations, though. I'm usually my favorite waffles are just like, and it just sounds weird, but I love like hotel waffles. Like you go to a hotel and they have the waffle maker and you like put the batter in there and you just make it because it's never like too dry. You just get, you know, I think they're delicious, but, Waffle House waffles always got to get chocolate chips in it.
Peanut butter.
Ooh, that's a good choice. Mm. But I like the waffles because it has little compartments for your butter and for your syrup instead of just all going all over the place. It holds it all in there for you.
The amount that I've traveled, regular, like hotel waffles have taken such a horrible dive.
I don't travel enough to know that, but
it's gotten real bad. Like it should be like, I think we need to forget like this whole government shutdown thing and the whole wall thing. I think this needs to be a priority now. Cause I mean, the innocent people are getting hurt.
Get your waffle game back up, hotel.
I mean, seriously though. I mean, just hotel food in general, the game has gotten really bad, especially the breakfast in the morning. It's gotten real bad, especially they've got a stickler on the start time also. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten yelled at in the morning. It's like, breakfast hasn't started yet. I'm like, dude, I'm paying to be here.
In the morning.
I wait.
It's like 6 o'clock is the start time. An average early morning time is 6 o'clock. Just because you're up at four.
It shouldn't matter. I just dropped all this cash to stay in your stupid place. The least I could do, if I'm up at four, I should have something ready for me. Mainly, probably the whole reason I do the intermittent fasting now is not even because of health reasons. It's because I can't eat anything. Because I get up at four, I'm just like, well, nothing's open. Oh, well.
You probably have a couple almonds left over from your midnight snack.
I always keep a couple in the mug next to my bed.
He puts one in each of his cheeks. So when he wakes up in the morning, they're already there.
Just drop down.
It's like chipmunk.
403. Time to eat my almonds.
What about you, Lyle?
For me, it's going to have to be waffles. I love a good Waffle House waffle with peanut butter. You fold that over in half and let that peanut butter chips melt in there. And then you can put the butter and syrup on the top. So tasty. But it is always nice when I'm on vacation. Usually we go to a restaurant for breakfast or something like that. I do usually get the French toast because usually it's something like that restaurant will specialize in, and you can get it kind of loaded up with stuff. So,
yeah. I don't make it at home. I like all three of them. French toast, I'm definitely a fan of French toast if it's there. I don't really make French toast, but honestly, I don't really make pancakes or waffles all that much either. So if they're all there, I'll eat all three of them, but I would prefer a waffle if I could only choose one.
I've never made French toast. Never made it. I remember in the Blue House, we had one of our roommates was Ryan Sunderland, a military guy, and he never cooked. But the one thing he would cook, the two things he would cook was ramen noodles, which again, it's probably not cooking. No. But then two was French toast. The second was French toast. And this man, you could always tell when he was in a French mood, French toast mood, because he'd get up. He kept to himself. But then if you saw him dancing around, if he was kind of doing like this little dance throughout the kitchen, you knew it was about ready to be French toast time. And I was shocked of the mess and all the dirty dishes that he would produce from making these French toast. And he would sing the whole time, but it was like scatting. It was ba-da-ba-boop-ba-boo-da-ba-ba-ba. Like, it was aggressive. It was very aggressive. But it
didn't sound as aggressive as your bang-bang.
Bang-bang.
You find scatting aggressive, but not your bang-bang. Okay.
I'm just saying there is aggressive scatting.
I would take aggressive scatting if it meant French toast was coming.
His French toast was pretty good, though. It was pretty good.
Yeah, so I'm not going to make it. There's too much work involved in French toast and to get it right. But if I go to a restaurant, like when I'm on vacation, I'm going to get that. Usually if we're out for breakfast here in town, it is the Waffle House. So got to get waffles there. So
now
the saddest thing I did this week.
Oh, my favorite time of the week. The fattest thing I did this week. Now, hold on. I need to go last because I think Ashley's going to come up here and rag on me.
Yes. Guest appearance.
I love it when she visits.
Yes. So hold. Spread it out a little bit. I need to get a hold of her and tell her to come up here and do the fattest thing for me.
Is she in the house?
Yeah, she's somewhere.
Oh, okay.
She's somewhere. I heard the dog bark.
Oh. The dog was probably barking because the dog has been on Twitter. Did you know your dog's guilty pleasure is Nickelback?
No.
We did it out.
Oh, Mitchell. Wow.
I walked into this dude's office. Not only ransacked his office, I then took his phone from him, and in our line of work, you need your phone. I mean, it is 100% desperation. You need your phone.
Yeah.
No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I held that phone for 8 hours.
Jeez.
He ended the day with 25 texts that weren't applied, that he didn't get a chance to
reply
to. Thank you. And yeah, then 45 emails, 7 of which had urgent flags on them.
You're messing with a man's livelihood.
I don't. Well, you're messing with my dog.
Well.
All right. So, Matt, you go ahead. Someone go ahead and start, and I'm going to go see if I can get Ash.
Yeah. So, today I went to a Mexican restaurant in Frankfurt for lunch and met some of my clients and things like that. We had a big group lunch. And while I was there, I was talking to them just about, you know, we were going over favorite Mexican restaurants in Lexington, favorite Mexican restaurants in Frankfurt, things like that, and just how often they came there and different things like that. And we were talking to them about, you know, with our job, you know, we try to get lunch with people every day, and you could time it up to where you could get, you know, take someone out to lunch every day. And I said, the problem is, so there's been some weeks where I've ended up at a Mexican restaurant, you know, 3 or 4 times in the week. And so I've had 3 or 4 of my 5 lunches have been Mexican restaurants. And so we were kind of joking about that. So I eat Mexican for lunch. It's getting close to dinner time, and the wife's texting me of like, hey, what do you want for dinner? And I'm like, you know, I don't know. She's like, what'd you have for lunch? Mexican. Oh, I was hoping to get me Mexico tonight for dinner. And I was like, yeah, let's wait a little bit till we get closer to me leaving here. See what I'm feeling. Let's get closer to that time. She said, hey, I'm about to call me Mexico. Do you want anything? Or are you going to get something on your own? And I said, I think I'm going to get something on my own. Well, she texts me again, and turns out I ended up having Mexican again tonight. But when I went out to tell my coworkers about that, I was like, especially one that was at lunch with me, I was like, guess what I'm having for lunch tonight? She said, Mexican. I said, yep. I said, yeah, my wife talked me into it. She goes, talked you into it? What'd she say? And I was like, well, she just asked if I wanted it. But I mean, I don't know if she was like, she talked you into it by asking you if you wanted it. And I was like, well, yeah. She goes, I said, no. And then she said, are you sure? And so she kind of talked me into it when she asked that question. So very easy convincing on that side. And what I did was just figured out a way to have what I had at lunch just in a different form. Instead of fajitas, I got it all in a burrito. So for me, that's two completely different things, right?
Exactly. And like I always said, I'm half Hispanic. And for me, everybody asks why I eat so much Mexican food. I'm like, it's not Mexican food. It's food.
It's food. Yeah.
It's food. Oh, I'm with you. Actually, mine does have, I have a Mexican theme with it too. Last night, we decided to go to dinner. We had to run some errands out by the mall, so we went to Chuy's, and I haven't been to Chuy's in a few months. And so,
love Chuy's.
It was one of those ones where we brought a lot of food home too. So, I was asked to make dinner tonight. I was going to make some chili, so I was snacking on some stuff while I was making my chili. Like, yeah, I to do.
Yeah,
made the chili. I was sitting down, getting ready to get up and get a plate, and I'm like, wait a minute, we've got those leftover Chuy's food in the refrigerator. Well, that's not going to keep another day. So I was like, I'll have that. So yep. I heated that up. Got done with it, sitting there going, and then Sherry's talking about how good the chili tastes. What I'd do differently. Same old stuff. And I'm like, wonder why it did turn out differently. Well, I got to get a little bowl of chili to find out what I did.
Of course.
Then I hit the carb load and almost fell asleep and forgot about the show.
I was wondering why that meeting email came so late there.
Yeah, I was in a carb coma sitting on the chair.
Wow. He's like, oh crap, it's almost 8. All right. Gotta get
up. Oh, it's 7:45. I got 15 minutes. I'm good.
Yeah.
Oh, it's 7:58. Oh, well, I'm going to head downstairs now.
Love it. That's awesome.
All righty. So here, Ashley's going to expose what I did this week.
Yes.
Max bought a gallon of chocolate milk just to drink it out of the jug.
That was your only purpose, was to just so you could drink it out of the jug?
Yes, sole purpose. There was, first of all, I'm not sure I hurt someone while trying to get it, because you know how whole chocolate milk is so hard to find at Kroger?
Yeah.
There's one left.
You're drinking whole chocolate milk?
It was a sports day.
You're drinking liquid brick. My God, that has to sit heavy.
Oh gosh, but it tastes so good though. I got this thing that's called a Zoku, where you put like milk and juice or whatever it is, and you can make milkshakes and slushies out of it. All you have to do is just pour it in, and it's got this special. It's basically got like dry ice in the container, where it like freezes and makes like a slush in like 30 seconds.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I bought that. I was like, well, this is great, but what would make it greater would be, instead of 1% chocolate milk, would be whole chocolate milk. And then I saw that there was two of them left, and there was a guy that was very impatiently waiting to get to the chocolate milk while I was trying to make my decision, because I hadn't bought chocolate milk in forever. But he was smaller than me, so it wasn't like he was going to push me all the way. So I just grabbed the other whole milk one also. I was like, and Ashley goes, well, why did you get two? And I said, well, this one's for the Zoku, and this one's just so I can drink it out of the jug. And she just stared at me and just goes, no, it's the fattest thing you did this week, and just walks off.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah,
that's pretty solid. I thought that reminded me of, and something I probably could have said, was when I bought those Oreos, the most stuff Oreos that I talked
you
about
ate last all of show. Them?
No, I bought another pack of regular size Oreos just in case. I didn't like the most stuffed Oreos. In my mind, that was rational. And it was thinking about it, like, there's no way that I wouldn't like the most stuffed Oreos, but I bought a backup package just in case of normal sized ones.
You never know.
Yeah.
Once again, you talked last week on your fattest thing that you did about how you did all the swaps to get a full table. That's just that's fat brilliance. That's all that is. I mean, and you've got to have a backup plan.
I told our buddy Sean Smith, Greg, at the game. He was saying, like in the middle of the game, he was like, I think I'm going to go get some Edley's, and he was like, do you guys normally get the nachos or the tacos? And I go, well, let me tell you about this. And I told him about what your idea and how great it was. And he went and did it and came back, and he like ate it back in the back. He didn't bring it out to the table. He came back, and I was like, so? And he goes, yeah, dude, I got the tacos. He's like, that was freaking genius. And I just looked at him and I go, we didn't become offensive linemen by chance. And I just turned around and he just started dying laughing. We're slowly spreading word.
Spreading word. Yes. You have a limit on your card that you get.
Yeah.
Fully maximize your use.
Yep.
And yeah. So, hey, a little basketball news as we're getting ready to get off the air here. Number one Tennessee is about to go down again.
Yep.
Last time they were number one in the nation, they got beat the next day by Vanderbilt. Guess what?
About to get beat by Vanderbilt.
76-70 with a minute left. They're reviewing. Number two for them took a nasty fall. I mean, like came straight down. It was ugly.
Yeah, I'm sitting here watching it too.
that fall was ugh.
Yeah. Yep, Grant Williams took one on the hip there.
So, Max, this is where the state of the fattest thing that we did this week, that you went the whole chocolate milk. Am I understanding that right? That you've slimmed down and changed so much on us in the last 3 years that your fattest thing you did was drink whole milk?
No, I bought an extra one just for the sole purpose of just drinking out of the jug.
Are you sure you didn't drink chocolate almond milk?
I'm positive.
That's what it was. Chocolate almond coconut unsweetened. But it was whole. First of all,
I want to say this, and you've been throwing a lot of microaggressions at me the past few weeks, and we just need to address it. I don't want to get you all defensive, but it's a good learning experience. So I'm just
microaggression. Who are you about to come at here, me or Greg?
Both of you all. So you make a lot of jokes about almonds, which, you know, it's okay, but I'm actually, you know, allergic to almonds, so I can't have them. And you keep throwing that in my face, and it makes me sad.
I don't feel bad about that at all, actually.
You know how I realized I'm allergic to almonds? And this may be the fattest thing I did for a while. anytime I would eat them, my throat would get sore and it would start closing up. That should be a warning sign.
You think?
Then I just muscled through it. I was like, oh, this is just how almonds are supposed to taste. And then I went to almond milk, and the almond milk was doing the exact same thing. And then I tried chocolate almond milk, and it was worse than regular almonds. I was like, oh, this is just what it's supposed to do. And all of a sudden, I'm starting to choke. I'm starting to choke. It's like a freaking funnel of trying to get just chewed up almonds and almond milk down my throat at this point. And it was just like, okay, I think I may be allergic.
Yeah, good call.
No, so, Max, that brings up a funny point. Kate Meyer, our athletic trainer at Cal, she comes into my office one day, and I had somebody had given me these almonds, and they were like blueberry flavored, so they were covered in like dried blueberry dust or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they gave me some that was like coffee espresso ones. So I had like these three different variety bags sitting in my office of these almonds, and she comes down to talk to me, and she's just going to town on left and right. No big deal. The next day she comes in and she goes, I went to the doctor today and had some food allergies done. I'm allergic to tree nuts. She goes, and I love almonds. I'm like, you sat in my office yesterday. She goes, yeah, I could have died.
Good to know.
See, I really didn't need a doctor to really tell me that. It may be tree nuts, because I feel like walnuts kind of do the same thing to me, I think. Pecans, I know now. I don't know. But almonds, I'll stay.
Peanut butter?
No. No, I'll down peanut butter.
That's different.
It's interesting. But I'm really not going to go to the doctor, because unlike wimps that have food allergies, and then I'm going to get some sort of backlash of, hey, I have a food allergy. I'm just going to muscle through it and just suck it up, because I still like the taste.
So unlike smart people who go and get that taken care of, you're just going to muscle through it.
I'll just muscle through it. I've muscled through it in the past. So I look at it as the last set of squats.
I don't want to know. I don't, because, you know, everybody, you're allergic to something on some level.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't want to go. No, if I go and they tell me I'm allergic to peanut butter, I'm done.
Say, well, I guess if I die, then you know how then.
I'm done. Yeah.
He's got to kill himself by peanut butter.
Yeah.
FYI, that's what's going to happen.
OD on peanut butter.
You know, or they come up weird. I mean, I would just be allergic to something I absolutely like, love, and crave. And
now, this would be an interesting science experiment for BB and Chalk Talk. I haven't had crunchy peanut butter in forever. I've always been using creamy.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see how I'd react if I had crunchy peanut butter.
Just so you know, creamy peanut butter has the same amount of peanuts in it. Just they don't have
the chunks
of peanuts. It doesn't make it any less peanutty because it's creamy.
Does it though?
No.
No.
Well, I'm just thinking, if you have just chunks of peanut in it, if you have chunks of peanut in it, it's not processed.
There's still enough peanuts in peanut
butter. I disagree with you on that. I think if you've got peanuts in peanut butter already, there's a allotment of peanuts inside just a clump of peanut butter. Then you add sprinkles of or chunks of peanuts in it. Now there's naturally more peanuts in it. The volume's not the same at that point.
Sounds like research time.
But
it does.
But
it sounds like a Twitter poll question to me.
It's not a bigger size jar because it's crunchy. So the volume in the jar is the same.
The volume in the jar is the same, but the amount of peanuts inside the jar.
No, you can only fit so many peanuts in a jar.
You could fit so much peanut butter in a jar, but once you add peanuts to it, naturally there is more peanuts at that point.
Here we go. What uses more peanuts to manufacture, a jar of creamy or a jar of crunchy peanut butter?
There is a peanut butter factory in Lexington.
Oh, this is really long.
You know, we could go do some on-site research if I could make some calls tomorrow.
I guess
let's do that, because I would kind of like to solve this debate.
I think I'd get thrown out. Will you stop eating peanut butter?
I got to keep eating it to see.
I got to find out if I'm allergic or not. I'm not allergic to this one. Let me try the other one. Okay, allergic to that one.
Shut down line three. Coach put his finger in the peanut butter again.
Daggone it.
Clean line three. Hey, dang, I'm watching Elizabeth. The end of this Tennessee game, and we were talking before about Vandy in that weird floor setup they have.
Yep.
They're reviewing a play right now, and, like, the official's on his knees on the floor because the press row is right off, off the floor. It's level with the floor. So they have to bend the monitor over flat, and he's, like, on his hands and knees watching this monitor.
Wow.
That's Vandy. Great.
Jeez.
But it's a tie ball game, 2 seconds left.
Oh,
yep.
They may still have a shot.
You won't find out.
What was the answer, Matt?
I didn't read it. It was too much, too many words. No, it was one of those Reddit strings where everybody was just giving their opinion. There was no scientific facts.
There is scientific.
Well, not in the one that there's the one that I saw. I'll figure it out by next show. You gotta give me time. I'm about to go deep into the web.
I don't know if you want to do that involving peanut butter.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I just scrape the top. If I were
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, get it.
Yeah, I feel that.
All right. Well, all right. So I guess okay. So that just means you're just not going to do the research then. You're just going
to. I'm not going to do it right now. No.
Okay. Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
I'll do it for Sunday show. I'll have the answer by Sunday.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's good. All right, so make sure to check out. I misread something. I was like, I don't even want to tell you what I was thinking.
I don't want to know.
It doesn't matter. I'm going to edit this out anyway.
Make sure to check us out on 590 VLK noon to 1 on Sunday. You can text in on the text line. What? Was it 259-59-5353?
Right there on the script.
It's not on my script. I keep moving to I'm look what I'm doing. It's not going over.
Why do you have a document on your phone?
Or add us at Twitter at bbandchucktalk.com. As always, thank you, G&J, Pepsi Cola Bottling, and 590 for amazing opportunity. For Matt Smith and Greg Lyle, my name is Max Gabby. You're listening to BB and Chalk Talk, presented by G&J Pepsi Cola Bottling. Have a great afternoon, and hey, go Cats.